Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
.435 Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Friday Eve. Lots of great stuff going on. And we're all sort of coming down off our big politics and pints event last night. And I don't want to just belabor the point. But I know there's some people going, well, Jeff, I didn't go. Well, you should go. No, seriously, honest to goodness, next time, make sure that you go to Politics and Pints. That's all. Not quite sure where it's going to be, but it is always worth attending. We're, what, 19 days out from the election? The Democrats, Kamala Harris, man, just every time she opens her mouth, there are more people that are left scratching their head saying, I have no idea what she's talking about. And that's okay. That's fair, because she doesn't know what she's talking about. But I think you and I agree. We've got a country to save. And there are some good folks running. Obviously, I think most of us who are part of this program are on board with President Trump. But I mean locally. We got some great members of Congress. We've got to step up to the plate. We got to make sure that they are returned to the House. One of them happens to be Rob Whitman, does an amazing job of representing our first congressional district in our beloved Commonwealth. Rob, I appreciate you being here, sir.
Jeff, it's great to be back with you, and you're right. The events like Politics and Pints is a good place to be able to have a little bit of banter and a little bit of great beverage. So
that's exactly right. And you know, we were trying to convince some of the other folks that were coming. We start with politics. Other people were like, we should start with the pints. It's like, man, you never get to the politics, then, right?
That's right. Yeah,
it would just go all right off the tracks. I got to ask you right off the bat, Rob, and I know you got a lot of stuff we're going to cover, but what exactly is going on? Like around Langley in Northern Virginia, are these drones? Is China up to something? Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I went there right after that occurred. It was actually last December, Jeff, and it was for an extended period of time, much longer than it should have been, to get a brief from the base commander, to get a brief from the Northern Command, which is responsible for protecting our key military installations. And I have to say, I was bitterly disappointed by a lack of decision making, and I think the base commander did everything that he could, but there was indecision by folks above him on what needed to be done. And a lot of it's classified, but I can tell you, and they said, well, hobbyists or, you know, potentially somebody else. Listen, the level of this happening to me precludes a hobbyist. Remember, if you go to the store and you buy a drone, those drones are pre-programmed not to be able to fly into that airspace. Now, listen, you can hack them and have them not fly, but I can tell you one thing, everything there, and again, you know, just from the non-classified side, everything there would lead one to look at it and go, there's more to this than what maybe some are alleging. And I can tell you, I've been out to NORTHCOM and to the Air Force and to the base command there at Langley in the classified space to get the briefing there, and it is hair-raising as to what happened then. And then the lack of immediate response, right? Because I think whoever's doing this, you know, isn't necessarily doing it for effect. They're doing it to probe and figure out what is the reaction of the United States military on a critical base where you have critical operations. So all of those things are there. You know, I can't share a whole lot more than that, but I will say this to everybody that, you know, sans the classified side of things, all the things that I heard concerned me deeply. And what concerned me the most was the lack of an immediate action on this and a hesitancy that I think just sends a signal of weakness. And that's not what we need to be doing now.
Well, Rob, I mean, all we have to go back to, and again, I know part of this is classified, and I'm not asking you to get into that, but we watch this balloon, this hot air balloon meander its way across America, over military bases, every state. At first, the White House was like, it was like Alfred E. Newman, balloon, what balloon? I don't know about a balloon. You know, where? What are you talking about? It just seems like China is emboldened by the weakness we see from the White House.
Yeah, it is. And the lack of action there. Remember, a lot of these things, I think, you know, China is very, very focused on what they're doing. There's none of this stuff is just haphazard. These things are very specific about what they hope to learn from this. And their learning curve is, what is the United States' reaction? And we had an opportunity, first of all, to sense this balloon very early on. We had an opportunity to take it out well before it reached any of these critical facilities that it flew over in the United States. And why we didn't do that is questioning to me. And for someone to say, oh, we wanted to let it fly over so we could learn something, I'm like, let me tell you, the Chinese learned a whole lot more on what they were able to look at, more than we would ever learn with what they're doing. And then we let it go all the way across the United States until it got off the Atlantic coast before we shot it down. It's just counterintuitive, Jeff, that is not a signal of strength to the Chinese. It's a signal of weakness. It's a signal of, oh gosh, we're too uncertain about what we should do to even take action. And let me tell you, I believe that informs them as to what they could potentially do, not in a balloon flying over the United States or in any other circumstance, but it will certainly inform them on what they see as the reaction to an effort to go after Taiwan, and whether it's a blockade or whether it's a cyber attack or whether it's a kinetic attack. You know, China's learning from that. They're watching what's happening in Ukraine. They're watching what the United States does every minute of every day, and it informs their future actions, I believe.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Well, you mentioned Taiwan. You have been, for my money, the number one guy in the House talking about the existential threat coming from China. They're looking for weaknesses. They're probing for weaknesses. Their economy, it seems, is imploding, according to my buddy Dr. Dave Bratt. And they're looking, I think, for a way to kind of take attention away from that. Are we now closer to China trying to grab Taiwan?
Well, you know, what concerns me about that is folks look at it and go, oh, it's good that China is struggling with its economy. It's good that there's this turmoil there. I would argue it's not. Mm-hmm. I would argue it actually makes China a more dangerous nation, because this sort of unrest creates a desperation with Xi, who is all about hanging on to power. Yeah. And if you look at that nation and you look at how the population is aging, if you look at its economy, if you look at the number of individuals there of military age, and as the level of desperation goes up, you know, I think more and more in the mindset of Xi, who is about holding on to power, yep, you know, more and more the effort is to say, well, maybe now's the time for us to distract and have this effort to retake Taiwan, and all of a sudden have a rallying cry for the country. And as your population ages, you're only going to have so much of a window with these large population of military age individuals there that can actually, you know, prosecute this. So I think desperation actually puts the world in a more dangerous place. So I'm not particularly enamored with China being weaker. I think it actually is more dangerous for us when that happens.
Wow. Congressman Rob Whitman is joining us. Rob is, without question, one of the good guys up there in D.C., and God bless him for taking up the mantle and going up there. I have to ask you about the economy, Rob, because, you know, we had the Fed with half a point. They cut it, their interest rate, and all sorts of good things were going to happen. Mortgage rates are up 3 weeks in a row, which would indicate there are people on the sidelines going, oh, you guys do not have this inflation thing under control.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of indicators, Jeff, that it should be concerning to people. Now, the question is, you know, are they repeating themselves? But, you know, some of the economic indicators there show that there are some challenges for the economy. I think the inflationary pressures are still there. And the challenge for the Fed is, you know, if you continue to be aggressive in bringing down interest rates, does that precipitate recessionary pressure? So either of those scenarios are just not good scenarios. And I would argue early on, the Fed was way too slow in reacting to what were early indicators of inflationary pressures, and then had to really ramp interest rates up in ways that were probably too much too fast. And now they're trying to find the right mixture of things as they're trying to bring down rates.
Yep.
And another thing, too, that plays into this, and Congress has to be able to address this, and that is the level of debt and deficit. And, you know, the Fiscal Responsibility Act did a little tiny bit to start to bend the spending curve down.
Yep.
But my goodness, we've got a long ways to go. And remember, you know, it's not just getting appropriations bills done. I'd like to get them done before the end of the year. But remember, we have a debt ceiling debate that's going to go on, you know, right around the first of the year. So we have another, you know, another crescendo of these different issues Congress has to address. All of them affect our economy. So there's a whole lot of different things. I did a town hall recently at the Richmond Federal Reserve, and the director there, Tom, said the number one question he gets traveling around his region is the deficit and the debt. So that does have an impact on our economy also, because when the government has to borrow that much money, it impacts the private economy, period.
Well, I don't know. This printing of money, I don't think, is going to work out all that well in the long run. But that's just me.
No.
I'm not an economist. I got to run, Rob, but I've got to ask you this out question. We know that the new president gets inaugurated on January the 20th. You just mentioned, though, this big debate about the deficit and funding and all the rest of it around the first of the year. When is the new House inaugurated?
Well, the new House is sworn in just after the first of the year, so we'll get to work then.
Okay.
And of course, right after the election, both parties will meet and they'll go through their leadership election, so we know who the future leader is going to be. But ultimately, when Congress is seated right after the first of the year, you know, the first order of business is to elect the speaker. So I think that's the first charge for us. Hopefully, as we keep the majorities, to get that done and then really get on track about getting this nation back underway. Listen, I am very bullish on President Trump going back into our nation's key leadership role as our president. I think that he will be no nonsense about the things that he seeks to do to get our economy back on track, to secure the border, to ensure our national security. And he has to have a Congress that's there ready to and willing to work with him. So I'm anxious to have a greater majority in the House and a majority in the Senate. And I think with that, we can really get our nation where it needs to be.
I love it. Well, listen, you know, I think the world of you. I think the world of your team. And I'm looking forward to another two-year term for you. And my fervent hope is that my friend John McGuire joins you in the House. And we've got some reasonable conservatives doing the right thing by America. So I'm hopeful.
Well, Jeff, I appreciate that. I encourage everybody to get out and vote. Would love to have their support. But most importantly, you know, just get out and vote. This is an incredibly important time, and I think if they do that, you know, we'll be, you know, very focused on what we need to get done. That is, you know, the voters sending me back, and I never take that for granted. So I really value people's support, and just want to make sure that they get out and vote.
No doubt about it. Rob, I appreciate you being here. That is Congressman Rob Whitman, represents the 1st District in our beloved Commonwealth. If you are in that 1st District, I'm just telling you, because Rob was my congressman for years, a great guy, a solid guy, a reliable conservative, an intelligent dude who, God bless him, has decided he will fight the fight in D.C. I would have given up. Seriously, I don't know if I'd be banging my head against the wall. But Rob's done, and we appreciate it. Jeff Katz, News Radio W.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Ralava?
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.